You're listening to the heartbeat of the University of Maryland, Baltimore, the UMB Pulse.
Welcome to the UMB Pulse. I'm Charles Schley.
I'm Dana Rampola.
And I'm Jenna Frick. This episode, we are being very scholarly, so get out those monocles and mortarboards. Sorry, it's so silly.
I may like just the Monopoly
leave,
man?
No. I know, I may just leave that in because that's just so silly. All right, get out those monocles and mortarboards. We will be learning all about the UMB Cure Scholars Program. We're going to be talking to Executive Director Dr. Gia Greer McGinnis and 8th grade students Azaria Jackson from Green Street Academy and Shayla Monroe from Southwest Baltimore Charter School. So check out our episode description or chapter markers to skip ahead to that interview.
It's November, and we have a president to congratulate. UMB President Bruce Jarrell will be inaugurated on Friday, November 5th. He was officially named president on September 10th, 2020, after serving as interim president for 8 months. So congratulations to him for being able to have this big day after everything he had to do to lead this institution during the pandemic. If you are interested in watching a live stream of the event, visit the episode description or chapter markers.
Congrats to our new president.
Yes.
Speaking of presidents, have you two ever been a president of anything?
Actually, yes, I have. When I was in college, I started the university's first and only sketch comedy team when I was a sophomore, and I was the founder slash reigning president slash head writer for 3 years, and it's still going strong today. It's called Maddie Night Live because we were James Madison University, so we did a play off of Saturday Night Live.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Shout out to my Maddie Night Live people.
How about you, Charles?
Not really. I mean, president of band council, which is like the worst position you want.
Uh-oh.
It's like you're not even drum major. It's like, you know, administrative stuff of like listening to parents complain about fundraising.
Oh, so like you're doing the grunt work.
All the organizational customer service-y type stuff.
Yes.
I was president of Honor Society.
Ooh.
Imagine that.
Smart cookie over there.
So between Founders Week and an inauguration, this certainly is a busy time of year for this semester. Let's get you caught up with your pulse check. COVID-19 variants and booster vaccines will be the focus of the next edition of Virtual Face-to-Face with President Bruce Jarrell. His guest will be University of Maryland School of Medicine professor and lead vaccine researcher at the Center for Vaccine Development and Global Health, Kirsten Leick. The program starts at 2 p.m. Thursday, November 4th. The Grid will host founder and CEO of Smart Job, Gina Klein, for an online Meet the Maker discussion. Smart Job is a global company with the core mission of closing the disability wealth gap by making jobs smarter through expanded investment, access to financial services, and better public policy. The program takes place at noon on Tuesday, November 9th via Zoom. And last but not least, UREC Fit and Wellness is hosting a virtual turkey trot 5K for the UMB community. Dress the part or just show up and burn some calories. Either way, it's sure to be a great way to stay fit and have fun. You can run on your treadmill, in your neighborhood, or on your favorite trail, and there's no time limit, and it can be done any time of day. UREC Fit's virtual 5K club uses the Strava app, where you can share photos of your run. For a link to the virtual 5K and other events mentioned in the Pulse Check, visit our episode description or the chapter markers at umaryland.edu/pulse. And that is your Pulse Check.
The UMB Cure Scholars Program is a groundbreaking year-round program that seeks to empower middle and high school students in West Baltimore for competitive and rewarding research, healthcare, and STEM-related career opportunities. So what does that mean and how do students get involved? Here with us today is Program Executive Director Dr. Gia Greer McGinnis and a couple of Cure Scholars. We have Azaria Jackson and Shayla Monroe. Welcome to The Pulse.
Hello.
Hello.
So before we jump into asking you all about what your experience is like in the program, Dr. Gia, can you explain what is the Cure Scholars program?
Right. So Cure Scholars is a STEM and healthcare pipeline program for West Baltimore youth. And when I mean pipeline, I mean that the students come into the program as sixth graders and they stay with us all the way through 12th grade through a series of different parts of our curriculum. We also have a social work program for our families that have any challenges.
So why is it so important to have students in the program at such an early age in middle school? I know it's part of the CURE program with NIH, and usually they start in high school. Why start in middle school?
So the earlier, the better in terms of exposure. And there's studies that show if you start earlier, you're likely to retain them more in the field. And so at middle school level, we're just trying to get them excited about science and engineering and hope they stay involved.
Right. And you mentioned at the middle school level, there are a couple of different levels to the program. There is a middle school, and then there is a Career Connections level and a new one called Career Navigators. Yep. Can you break down exactly what those three levels of the program are and what it entails?
Yep. So people start in the middle school program, which we now call Catalyst. It's really just to expose the students to the fundamentals of anatomy, engineering, and chemistry. And really, we just want them to fall in love with science, get excited about science, and want to stay involved. As they get older, they move into something called Career Connections for 9th and 10th graders. And that's all about making that difficult transition to high school. They get kind of the next level of their STEM work. And we also start paying them in the summer for their STEM work. Then the last phase is Career Navigators for our 11th and 12th graders. And this is all about preparing them for the end of their pipeline, where they get college support and career planning support.
Wow, that's incredible. So let's talk to the scholars a little bit. Tell me, what's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject is math and science.
Math and science?
My favorite subject is reading.
Nice. And what grade are you ladies in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Okay, so math and reading, that's terrific. And do you feel like when you are attending your CURE events, do you feel like you're embracing the subjects that you love, or do you feel like you're learning about new things?
For me, I think I'm embracing the subjects that I like.
For me, I think I'm learning more new things.
Okay, and what do you want to be when you grow up?
I plan to be either a pediatrician or a veterinarian, so in the doctor field, medical field.
Have you always wanted to do that, or is that just the more you're involved with science?
I think I've always wanted to be that.
Well, and how about you?
I also want to be a pediatrician.
A pediatrician, and has science always been one of your favorite subjects?
Yes.
That's great.
So you both said pediatrician. Why do you want to be a pediatrician? Why are you drawn to that?
I just know, like, I would go to the doctor's office a lot, and I would have, like, my checkups, because, like, I have asthma and stuff. So when I go to my checkups, I just like to, like, I saw what they did when they check up on me. So I would try to, like, imitate that, like, on my stuffed animals or whatever I had around. So I would, like, do that, and I think I just want to be a doctor. And then started getting asked questions like, what type of doctor you want to do? Because there's different types of doctors. So I was like, I guess I'll be a pediatrician when my doctor is. Because since they're a pediatrician, I guess I'll be one too. Because I feel like kids might be a little easier to work on, and they're like a little more fun, I guess. Because I like help my aunt with her daycare, so I have a little more experience with kids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely be a little bit sillier when you're around children, patients.
Yeah.
What about you, Shayla? Is there a reason why you wanted to be a pediatrician?
My stepdad, he was a pediatrician, and he used to work on patients, and sometimes he used to take me to the doctor's office, and I used to see him work. So I was like, well, that's really cool. And then when I went to my doctor, they would let me listen to my mom's heartbeat and listen to my heartbeat, and it was always fun. And I just liked the idea of taking care of children.
Wow, some real hands-on experience for you. That's great.
So what's it like going to school and doing CURE activities during a pandemic?
During the pandemic, I would say it's not as amusing because, like, you don't get to do, like, hands-on and actually see people in person. But we still get things sent to us. So if we have a box of, like, all the experiments that we're going to do at home, and we get instructions how to do it. And that's always fun because at least we get to do some part of activities when we're learning.
So, Shayla, what do you think about trying to do all of this during the pandemic? Has it been challenging? Do you enjoy it?
It's been challenging because, like she said, you can't really see them in person. It's not, like, kind of hands on. So it's kind of, like, not more boring, but it's just, like, kind of not as fun as it would be in person. But they do send things to us, so we could do it by ourselves with instructions and things like that.
So you're not actually doing it virtually. It's not like other students are on
the computer screen doing it in their houses while you're doing it in yours. You're solely doing it alone in your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I know your teachers and mentors have been helping you through the pandemic this past year. Tell me more about your mentors, who they are, how they helped you. Do they actually help you with your schoolwork? Who wants to go first? Shayla?
I can go first. My mentor, her name is Hadia, and she's helped me with a lot of things, like personal things and school things. Cause like sometimes on Saturdays I catch her up. I talk to her about like what we're doing in CURE and things like that. And over virtual, she helped me a lot with my schoolwork. Like I would text her, be like, oh, can you help me with this question? And she would help me and things like that. Yeah.
So my mentor before the pandemic, I would say it was cool seeing her because I was like always awkward. So whenever we talk, it was just like a regular conversation. We didn't really get into like any details, but she would help me with schoolwork, and we would just talk regularly, like catch up each other's day. And she would just basically check up on me, but we didn't get too personal or too in depth of our conversations. It was basically like a cool, casual friend conversation. But I think she was very nice and very funny. The pandemic, though, I was just in the Zoom meetings. Google Classroom meetings, and we would just do our daily work there. And they would still have other mentors and teachers come in the classroom meetings, so they would always talk, and it was cool to see them too. So it was kind of like I didn't have a mentor, but I didn't have a personal.
Gia, can you talk a little bit about how mentors are assigned and if students can change at any point?
Yeah. So before, and of course it's different before pre-pandemic, we used to have a mentor mixer pre-pandemic. So when scholars are inducted, there was an event called a mentor mixer, and the mentors and scholars would be on together, and the scholars could kind of say, oh, I really like this mentor. And that's how they were assigned. In virtual, and I can actually back up and explain like how things worked in virtual. So we had Google Classrooms, which is kind of an educational platform where you can log in with a link like Zoom, only it's a Google product. So everyone would log into the Google Classroom, and then we had mentors join us in the Google Classroom also. So in the pandemic, if scholars weren't already matched previously, they were interfacing with a group of mentors in the same virtual space as them, like what Azaria was describing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And since we're on the topic of mentors, who are the mentors for these CURE scholars? Where do you get them from? How can someone become a mentor if they want to be one?
Yeah. So we get a lot of our mentors from UMB, from our 7 schools. A lot of them are from School of Medicine, but we also have mentors from School of Nursing, School of Dentistry. But we also work with working professionals. So if there's faculty member or staff member that wanted to be a mentor, they can do that also. In fact, one of our mentors is one of the security guards, Ms. Evelyn. So it really doesn't matter. It's just important that they're a kind, caring adult that's willing to make a commitment for at least 1 year.
That's terrific. And how, if someone is listening and they think, oh, I would love to do that, how would they, who would they reach out to? How would
they reach out to myself, or Katharina Furs is our mentor program manager.
And just to back up just a little bit, we talked a lot about how you connect with your mentors and CURE kind of helps with schoolwork and opens up opportunities for different hands-on learning activities. So just, can you break down exactly when you see the scholars? It's mostly an after-school program. Can you kind of break down exactly what that curriculum looks like?
Yeah, and actually it varies by grade level. So for example, with Azaria and Shayla, they're in the middle school program. That's a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday program. Because actually we're back in person as of last week. So we're here at the CEC, which is really great. During virtual, we didn't do Saturday programming because we didn't want them to get burnt out on Zoom. But now we're back 3 days a week with middle. And our high school programs tend to be Saturday only in person because a lot of our high schoolers go to high schools outside of the neighborhood. It's hard for them to get here after school. So we see them here at the CEC on Saturdays.
Right. And I was actually here a couple Saturdays ago with them, and they were working on their college applications and their statement essays, which is great. And this is like a wonderful way to kind of get guided through that whole entire process. But speaking of the middle schoolers and after school programs, Shayla Nazario, how does it feel to be back in person and back with your fellow cohorts of scholars and your mentors?
It feels a little different only because like there are still some rules, but we are at the same building as we were on Tuesdays and Thursday, I don't think. So it's a little different because then I was in sixth grade at the time. So we were in different rooms. And now it's just a little different now that I'm in a higher grade and at a different building than before. So I would feel, I would say it feels like a little nostalgic, but not exactly the same, if that makes sense.
It feels kind of weird because like I haven't been here for a long time. Like the last time I was like really in person was sixth grade. So it's kind of like weird to get back in the habit, like of following rules and things like that. But yeah.
Right. And I know for the middle school scholars, you guys choose your own academic tracks to kind of focus on. Which academic tracks are you guys on?
We're on robotics. So CURE always like, they always make you experience different tracks. So like, even if you didn't choose that one, you'll still have another chance to be in a different track. So they get you to experience all different tracks to get hands on and just get you exposed to different things. So even though this isn't the pathway that I want to go on, which is robotics, I'll still get to get exposure to it and get to do things on it.
Right. So what sort of activities and experiments and things have you been doing with robotics? Anything that stands out to you?
Like on Tuesday, we did coding. We were coding like a robot to move around and things like that. But we just started, so we're just doing coding right now.
That sounds really advanced.
Yeah, I was going to say just doing coding. I don't even know exactly what that means. So that's sounds pretty cool.
That's a whole other language, like the language of computers that you're learning, which is amazing. What do your parents think about that, that you guys are in a program that's allowing you to do stuff like this?
So my parent likes this program because she thinks that this will help me get my job as a pediatrician. And she thinks that this could help me get into a good college and get like a scholarship or, you know, things like that. So she really is happy about CURE.
My mom likes CURE because like she thinks it'll be good for like the field that I want to go into. And she'll think I'll get into good colleges and things like that. It's good for my future.
So the CURE scholars every year have some sort of STEM expo where they get to showcase all of the research that they do during the program throughout the year. Can you talk a little bit about that and tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, so the STEM Expo is kind of our culminating science event of the year. So scholars get to pick a topic of their choice. It could be cancer related or it could be something that they did in their STEM track. And then they research it. They do internet research. They work with their teacher or mentor to fact check their poster. They then are given kind of a template of a scientific poster and they add their content to that. It's a scientific poster, just like what faculty do. And it has their name at the top and their school and everything. And what they do is, and before the pandemic, it was actually a big community event where the posters would be lined up in rows and community members and families could come and walk around. In the pandemic, we've made that virtual. So for the past two cycles, it was an online event people could log into and the posters would show up and their voices would be playing over the posters.
That's so great. And I've been to several of the STEM expos, both virtual and in person. And in addition to community members and family members, there was also professional researchers and doctors and engineers and people in the medical field also going through and looking at the posters and asking questions of students. And they were always just blown away and we're so impressed that students in middle school and high school were putting together such professional work and were able to present it in such a professional way. So it's really a fun event in person or virtual, and it really shows just what all of the scholars are learning and doing throughout the program.
And hopefully this year it'll be in person again. Fingers crossed.
Definitely. Shayla, I'll start with you. What are you researching as your poster?
When I did the STEM Expo, I researched breast cancer in African-American males.
Azaria, what did you do?
I think I did the same thing. I think I did asthma and breast cancer.
Yeah. And then I know, Dr. Gia, you had mentioned at one point about how you have a social work team. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because CURE, even though we're doing all sorts of academic and STEM related activities and programming, There's really a huge holistic piece to this program. Can you talk about why that is and why it's important?
So really early on in the program's inception, they realized that some of the scholars were coming to programming and talking about, you know, needs that they had, like maybe there wasn't enough food in the house or maybe something was going on with their housing. And so maybe year two of the program, they hired a full-time social worker to help the families that identify as having those needs. So they can work one-on-one with those families. We even have an emergency fund now that we started in the pandemic, where if a family had a real emergency with like their rent or something like that, we can use the money to help them if needed.
And then I know another piece of the program with its inception was to really try to get more people of color and underrepresented communities in the healthcare field and in the STEM-related fields to kind of reduce healthcare disparities in our system today. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. So really the whole vision for CURE was inspired by the fact that Dr. Jay Perman and Dr. Elsie Steins were in the field seeing patients and recognizing that, you know, they weren't a lot of people of color that were providing care. And so came to UMB with really determination to start CURE, worked with the National Cancer Institute, who gave us our first set of funding to start this middle school CURE. And, you know, our hope is that people like Azaria and Shayla will go on to be those leaders and serving populations that are like them. And we know that with patient care, people of color respond often better to providers of color because they trust them. They understand the cultural factors that they deal with. So it's really good for healthcare to have more diverse leaders.
So, Gia, let's talk a little bit about, I'm changing gears, but the documentary that came out just recently, it's a multi-year documentary. And what all is that about?
Right. So several years ago, Susan Hadari, who is the producer, partnered with our leadership team to follow five of our oldest scholars. They're in cohort one. They're seniors now. And the idea was to document their lives as they try to pursue their goals, both getting to good high schools and then now, more recently in the documentary, kind of reaching that goal of going to college or career. And so this most recent one is actually interesting because it's set in the pandemic. So you actually kind of walk through pre-pandemic and then kind of when we went into lockdown. And then finally, towards the end, it talks about, you know, when the vaccine came out and the George Floyd verdict. So it does a lot in an hour. It's actually very good if people haven't seen it yet.
And if you missed the air date for the documentary on October 25th, you can always watch it on mpt.org. And they have it streaming. It's called 9th and 10th Grade from West Baltimore. So the CURE Scholars Program started in 2015. And today, this year is a huge year for the CURE Scholars Program because cohort one is in their senior year of high school. They're applying to colleges. They're going to be getting acceptance letters and all of that at the end of this year. So really, this is a huge year for CURE.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really what it's all about is kind of the end and helping these scholars make that transition to college campuses and high-paying careers. And Yvonne Lama-Sanchez is our program manager for Scholar Success. And on Saturdays and at some of our partner schools, he works with them on their college applications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are working really hard. He is very organized, has every single student
spreadsheets.
On their spreadsheets with all of their colleges, all of their requirements. It's a lot of work being put into it. And I'm sure it's going to yield like some really great results come April. So we'll have to do like a follow up or something with our
decision day. It's going to be in May. It's going to be really great.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a plan, I guess, to track the students as they go through college?
So that's something we're discussing now. We definitely want to develop an alumni program. We're not sure what that looks like yet, but particularly in the first year, we definitely want to kind of monitor them. You know, retention rates can kind of fall in the first year of college. So we definitely make sure they make that transition, land, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Right. And also UMB also has other pipeline style programs for students in undergrad, as well as postdoctorate ones, I believe.
Yep.
that, you know, I think we were talking to Dr. Greg Carey, who runs the Star Prep program, about maybe like transitioning some CURE scholars from CURE into the next level of a program that's already existing rather than, you know, building another one. Instead, we have like an alumni CURE program and then they transition to another UMB pipeline program. So, we're all very excited to see what's next and where they're going to go. And I can't wait until graduation for them because it's going to be one big party. We're kind of getting to the end of our interview here. And to wrap up, Azaria and Shayla, what would you have to say to sixth graders who would be interested in the CURE Scholars Program or maybe who had never heard of it? Why should they join it and why should they be interested in it?
I think that I would say to sixth graders, if they are deciding if they want to join CURE or not, that they should always give it a chance because you never know if you may decide to be something that is in the robotics or scientific chemistry or medical field because you might think that you want to do this. But if you give it a chance, you might actually enjoy it and want to make a career out of it. And it's just good to experiment and get exposure to different things because you never know what will happen. And CURE can be fun because they'll make you they'll give us fun experiments and they can give us free time. And last year before the pandemic, they would take us to the gym and we would always go play. So there's always a good
element of fun.
Yeah. Right. After you do all your work, there's always a good outcome out of it.
I would say to try it. You never know if you're going to like it or not. Like she said, go for it because especially if you want to become a doctor or anything that's in the STEM field, this is a really good start that can push you to the end and just experience new things that you never did.
That's great advice. Life advice, really.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So Dr. Gia, Azaria, Shayla, thank you guys so much for coming and joining us on The Pulse today.
No problem.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next episode of The Pulse will feature new UMB Police Chief Tom Leone. Get to know more about Chief Leone, his background, and services that UMB Police offers. And we'll have to see if we can get Officer Lexi on a future episode.
Oh, I would love that.
If only dogs could talk.
We are at a spot where COVID guidance has calmed down, so no special pulse check is planned, but everyone should continue to visit the Return to Campus website at umaryland.edu/coronavirus. Some minor updates have made their way to the site, like a more detailed list of the types of masks that can be worn as alternatives to KN95s.
And etiquette is also waiting for your questions about navigating the return to campus environment. You can submit questions at umaryland.edu/ETTAKITT, and she'll read them right here on the podcast.
Thank you again to Dr. Gia Greer McGinnis and UMB CURE Scholars Azaria Jackson and Shayla Monroe for stopping by, and tune in next time for the UMB Pulse.
The UMB Pulse with Charles Shalee, Dana Rampola, and Jenna Frick is a UMB Office of Communications and Public Affairs production. Edited by Charles Shalee, sound engineering by Jenna Frick, marketing by Dana Rampola, music by No Vibe, recorded in the University of Maryland Baltimore Community Engagement Center.